Hey everyone, it's Vicky. You may have noticed some changes we've been trying with Insight lately, and I wanted to fill you in. We are very excited about our new theme music. We're offering more Insight throughout the day on Morning Edition and All Things Considered. And this month, to give ourselves the chance to catch our breath a little bit, we're going to bring you a half-hour version of Insight. You can still expect the same thoughtful conversations and topics every Monday through Thursday, but now from 9 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. Let us know what you think. All right, here's today's show. Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. 121%. That's how much the number of fentanyl-related deaths increased in California alone between 2019 through 2021. Our content-sharing partners at CalMatters recently published an extensive report on fentanyl use in California, from the number of deaths to where it's coming from to the community's hardest hit and the state's effort to keep it out. What's evident is the days of just saying, don't do drugs, they are long gone. Now it's as simple and as frightening as one pill can kill. Fentanyl has long been used as a prescription to treat pain, but in recent years has become illegally manufactured on the black market and often unknowingly laced into counterfeit pills. Because fentanyl is up to 50 times stronger than heroin and 100 times stronger than morphine, all it takes is a pencil tip amount to become lethal. Ana Ibarra is a health policy reporter for CalMatters and joins us now to discuss some of the highlights of her findings. Good morning, Ana.
Good morning, Vicky.
So fentanyl is at the top of our mind. We've had these conversations multiple times on Insight, given that it's fueling an alarming spike in overdoses across the country. But I think it's important to take a look back because we have been here before. When did the opioid epidemic start in California?
Yeah, so it depends how long back we want to go, right? So if we look at prescription opioids, we're going back to the 90s. In the early 2000s, we started to see an increased use in prescription opioids that led to an increased use in heroin. And now we're at these fentanyl stage, if you will. If you look at public health data, the overdose related to fentanyl really started to take off around 2018. And like you said, in just 3 years, the California opioid deaths had more than doubled. By the end of 2021, we were looking at more than 7,000 overdose deaths, primarily from fentanyl.
And we'll get into those numbers a little bit. But can you talk a little bit more about how we moved from opiates like OxyContin in the 90s to now fentanyl?
Yeah, so a lot of it has to do with, you know, back in the 90s, there was an increase in the number of prescriptions being handed out to patients. And from reports, you can look back at CDC reports, there was a lot of reporting on opioids being prescribed a lot easier to treat pain. And that sort of led to people in needing and becoming addicted to these opiates as we started to see this public health crisis emerge, you know, providers started to pull back a bit. That sort of pushed some people who are already very addicted into using other drugs like heroin. That then led to an increased use in street drugs and fentanyl, you know, now being one of them.
I mean, the big headline that your reporting found was 121% increase in fentanyl related deaths from 2019 to 2022. And you mentioned that fentanyl related deaths and overdoses, they really started picking up around 2018. The big question really is why? What is different with fentanyl?
Yeah. So as you said, fentanyl is very, very potent. It's very addictive. Fentanyl is something that has been used for, like you said, many, many years to treat severe pain. But what we're talking about is illicit, cheaply manufactured fentanyl without any of the safeguards. And so, you know, what we do know is that because it is highly addictive, there's this, you know, greater demand. We know that it is also cheaper to produce than some other drugs. And as you also mentioned, we are now, one of the main concerns is that fentanyl is being laced into other drugs. So, you know, some people may not even know that they are ingesting fentanyl and, you know, could be They could be taking a tablet that they think might be something else, but that is laced with a lethal amount of fentanyl.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen the campaigns, one pill can kill. I mean, and that's a pretty powerful statement. But when you actually had a photo from the DEA showing the amount that could be lethal, it was literally the tip of a pencil, the lead part of a pencil tip. I mean, that was just so striking to know just that small amount could be deadly for someone.
Yes, absolutely. I think to me, to me, that was also one of the most striking things. And we often hear about how powerful fentanyl, but you're right. Once you sort of see that illustration, it's really striking. And the CDC has this estimated average that 2 milligrams can kill. So that's, just a very, very small amount.
Given that your focus is health policy as a reporter, I mean, you know the impact that fentanyl has had on communities in recent years. You've had these conversations and have done reporting on this. But how did this deep dive that you just did with your colleagues, how did it deepen your understanding about this crisis? And how does it shape how you communicate it to the public?
That's such a great question. I think for me, it was really seeing who this was impacting, how this was being sort of communicated as, I think for many, many years, this has been communicated as a public safety, criminal justice issue. But really now starting to see this push and awareness of that this is indeed a public health crisis as well. I think we've seen it even in, the legislature's response and the state's response in really trying to find or increase, if you will, access to the tools that we, to the public health tools that we know can help, that we do have available now. So, that's things like distributing more naloxone, increasing the use of fentanyl test strips. And so just really, I guess, like you say, really talking about this as a public health issue that it is.
Because these overdoses, I mean, it's not just a problem for one part of the state or one part of the community. It goes from urban areas to suburban communities. It spans socioeconomic levels and statuses into rural areas as well. And one of your numbers that you found that was quite astonishing was that in 2021, more people died from fentanyl-related overdoses in California than car accidents. I mean, what was your reaction when you learned that? Was that striking for you when you took that in for the first time?
Absolutely. Car accidents are still on the CDC's and CDPH's list of kind of top reasons for deaths. We know, usually the list is topped with cancer and heart disease, but toward the bottom of that list, you still car accidents usually are still on that list. So now seeing, overdose kind of, creep its way up there, it was very striking to me. And I think that context really kind of took this reporting home for me as well.
The period also that you look at, I mean, it happened during the pandemic. And I've had this conversation with the Placer County District Attorney when it comes to fentanyl. I mean, there is obviously a mental health component to the sacrifices that people made during the pandemic. It was a huge lifestyle change. Did you get a better understanding of what role the pandemic played in this spike in fentanyl-related overdoses?
Yeah, I mean, definitely that was one thing that stood out to me. During the pandemic, all of my reporting was so focused on, the impacts of COVID. And I think, this is just an example of one thing that might have sort of slipped through the cracks in terms that we weren't, paying as close attention to. And so, yes, the fact that, the numbers doubled during the pandemic was definitely very telling. I will add, Vicky, if CDPH just recently released some preliminary data for 2022, and when you look at fentanyl deaths, they are still creeping up. But one bit that I thought was pretty promising was that the number of fentanyl-related deaths among teens dropped from 230 in 2021, 251 in 2022. So that's really new data. And I took it as perhaps a sign that, teenagers might be getting the message, and hopefully, we continue to see that number trend downward.
Yeah, it's certainly a number that's going in the right direction. Finally, Anna, for people that are confronted with fentanyl and at the worst case scenario, an overdose of a loved one, this doesn't come with a handbook. You don't necessarily have all this knowledge about fentanyl. What resources are available for people to learn more about fentanyl addiction or poisoning? Because sometimes people aren't even aware that it's in a counterfeit pill they're taking. What resources and information are available that you think people should turn to?
Yeah, so for a lot of this reporting, I did turn to national CDC data. Our state public health department has some pretty great resources too. I think what's useful looking for resources at the state level and the county level. Also, some counties, I think, do a better job than others and really sharing those resources easily online. But doing it more locally, you can also find, resources closer to home, anything from substance use treatments and places where you can find naloxone either for free or, relatively cheaper. You can also try some local resources will also point you to places where you can find tools, like we talked about, fentanyl test strips. So, yeah, lots of data information out there. I kind of wish it was in one great place where you can just find anything and everything if you just typed into your zip code or something like that. But you can find a lot of information at your county public health department website and the state one as well.
And you also linked to some as well, or mentioned some in your reporting, which we have linked on our Insight page too. Anna, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Anna Ibarra is a health reporter for Cal Matters, a content sharing partner of CAP Radio. Up next, pack your eardrums. We are rounding the corner to another edition of Insight's Concert Connect, highlighting the best live music coming up across Northern California. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.